Land acknowledgements are often presented in shared spaces where we gather in person, but on a podcast, we recognize that each one of us occupies space on Indigenous land. We call on you, our listeners, to acknowledge that Indigenous people are the original inhabitants and caretakers of this land and have distinctive and sovereign rights and responsibilities that are directly connected to land, community, culture, and knowledge. With this in mind, please take the time to find out what territory you are on at native-land.ca and make a move to support our amazing Indigenous firecrackers like Jennifer Podemski, Marie Clements, Jules Kustachin, Tamara Podemski, Tracy Deer, and so many more. You know what's not easy? The housing market. It's just not. I don't know if the housing market's easy anywhere in the world, but you know who makes the housing market easier to navigate through? Fab, as in Fabrizio D'Amico, as in Fab in the City, Fab. Fab's been selling houses in the Toronto area since 1999, and that means he's been working for people and with people for 25 years. I'm going to tell you something personal. He worked with me. He helped us buy a property, and I have to tell you, he doesn't just do it as a realtor. He does it as your friend, and that goes across the board. Anybody who works with Fab is like, it's like working with a friend. When Fab works with you, whether you're buying a house or selling a house, he's going to make sure that you get the terms you want. And he's super professional, super classy, but not stuffy. You just can tell he loves his job and he treats the money that's coming in as if it's his money too. All his clients just have a ride. You can't help it. You can't help but spend time with Fab and have a good time. So if you're thinking about buying a property in the Toronto area, we just want to talk about what the potential is. Contact Fab at fabinthecity.com. I mean, he really does put a fab in fabulous. Hey, firecrackers, it's Naomi, and welcome to the Firecracker Department. All right, buckle up. I'm talking to my dear friend, Anna Rab, from Vienna. That's right, Vienna, Austria. This is how the Firecracker Department works. You know, I sometimes get to travel. It's one of the plates that I spin. I get to do acting and podcast hosting, and I get to do a bunch of fun stuff in the Firecracker Department world. And truly, it is fun. It's a heck of a lot of work, but I have a blast. I get to work with the actioneers, and we're building this incredible thing called the Firecracker Department. And it's a pure joy, truthfully. And then the other thing I get to do is travel with improv. Whoever thought that I was going to be able to travel doing improv? Nobody. So last fall, Matt and I did a little tour in Europe, and we did a festival in Vienna called the Moment Festival, which is just, if you ever get a chance to go to this festival or read about it, it's extraordinary. Jim Libby pulls together some of the best improvisers all over the world, and we spend a week doing shows together, workshops together, and you just fall in love. You can't help it but fall in love with this ensemble of artists. And I was lucky enough to work with Anna both years that I was at the Vienna Festival, 2022 and 2023, when I went back with my husband Matt Barham. So Anna and I found a corner of the theater between rehearsals, between workshops, between parties, and grabbed an hour, which is so extraordinary, because if you know these festivals, you're like, you work from like 10 o'clock in the morning, you take a break for lunch, you keep going to workshops, you keep talking about improv, and then you probably do a show in the evening, and then you probably have hangouts afterwards, and you get home by 1, and then you sleep for as long as you can, you get up and you do the whole thing again. And it's so inspiring. And so the fact that Anna and I found this chunk of time in the boys' dressing room to just be alone and record this was pretty, pretty great. I love her so much. And I think she's extraordinary. And I love watching her take over the improv world in Europe. She's just such a force. She's such a presence on stage. And it was a huge treat to work with her. And you know, you sort of adopt these people into your family. All right. Yeah, obviously, I'm crazy in love with her. She's the best. And here's my chat with Anna Rab. I love that we are, what, day 3? Day 4?
Day three of a festival, and somehow we're squeezing in a podcast recording like yes. maniacs. But I am, oh my gosh, I just love these discussions about impro, and I love that we've known each other only for this, like a little over a year, right?
A little over a year, last festival.
It's
yes.
insane. It's
last
insane.
October.
So I don't even know, like, I mean, I know that you've been working in various impro communities before the Vienna work, but I want to know, like, even before you started being a leader in impro, what were you doing before? Like, did you always know you were going to go into this kind of world? No.
No, because it started when I studied theater in Leipzig, yeah. And I met someone. He was a clown.
Yeah,
and
I love it. Like not a lot of people can say like I met this clown.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I also met a clown and married him, so it's the same.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
He said he wants to do a show where we are silent and we just get something from the audience and just do stuff together.
Yeah.
I said, oh yeah, cool, let's do that. And we tried that out.
Wait, but you weren't even an actor at all? Like you were studying theater?
I was studying theater and I was doing like little actor projects
okay.
on the side. And then we just did that. And someone said, oh, cool, you're doing improv. And I said, oh, really? Oh. Do I? And that's how it started. And then one thing came after the other. Then the Theaterturbine, the company in Leipzig, asked me to do shows with them. And then it just kept on going.
Did they see you on stage?
Yes.
And they were like, oh, she's
let's awesome. Have her.
That's pretty good. Who is the clown? Do you remember his name?
Larsen Sechert. He's still at the Theaterturbine and a great, great guy.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
And so did you, like, I don't think... Well, I could be wrong, but like it's not a secure lifestyle. Mm. So it's not something that a lot of our parents are like, I don't know, my parents.
My parents hated it
yeah.
at the beginning.
What did they say?
I studied education for kids before.
Yeah.
Because also my parents both are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, no, I don't want to do it anymore. I will quit that and I will study theater. And my mom was, no, you can't do that.
Oh.
You have to earn money in your life.
Yeah.
And my father didn't talk to me for 3 months.
Wow.
Because he was so disappointed
wow.
that I throw my life away. And
that's huge.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time he saw me on stage in Leipzig and he had tears in his eyes.
Mm.
And afterwards, he came to me and hugged me and said he was so proud and that I did all the right choices.
Yeah.
And yeah, paid off.
That's not easy. Like, you know, we're all children of our parents that
yeah.
want to be like, you know, proud, make them proud and all those things. so to have your father not support you must have been, it also just shows you how much you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Because you were like, you believe in it so much.
Yeah. I said, fuck it. I really want to do it.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I did some theater when I was younger in my hometown. And I really missed it when I was studying
yeah.
education. I missed it so much. And I thought, this is not what I want to do with
yeah.
the rest of my life. No. And then I just did it.
So, because I don't think you're alone, so what advice would you give to people who don't have, you know, the support that maybe they need to do this kind of work?
Just do it if it feels right.
Yeah.
Because the support will come. Maybe not from your parents, but from friends you will meet, from
mm-hmm.
colleagues, from, yeah.
Yeah.
You will get the support. You will find the bubble that supports you and that you feel home.
Yeah.
So...
It is home. I totally feel like during the pandemic, I was like missing a part of my
yeah.
heart.
Yeah.
Just not being able to have, because, you know, we did Zoom,
but
it's not,
it's the, not
the
same.
You know, like to share a stage with people
yeah.
and to like.
To look each other's in the eye
yeah.
or just by talking, just doing little touches
yeah.
and just being connected. Yeah, I miss that so much.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's so special in our improv world because most of us, we are so open and heartwarming people.
Mm-hmm.
And in every community that I felt in, there were open arms.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Hey, you want to play with us?
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
I know. I took Dan's workshop, and there was a girl that had never improvised before. And you could tell because she was wearing like a shirt that you're like, that's not a great improv shirt. Like, it looked beautiful, but it wasn't like a very comfortable shirt to move in. And she said, oh, this is my first time. And everybody applauded and she blushed. Like, yeah. It was so beautiful. And she was like, oh, like, that's what our community does.
Yeah, they're, you know, like, exactly. They will support.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So then your father now is supportive. He's turned a corner, or like,
yes, totally.
Because yeah, he just saw.
He's super proud.
Oh.
Because I had a little talk with him a long time afterwards, and he said, I'm sorry that I didn't believe that you could make it.
Interesting. Interesting.
And now you did.
Yeah.
He said. And that was.
And then, like, what's make it? What do you think is make, you know what I mean? Like,
earn money to survive. I think he's one, he's like this, you need the money, you need a job so you can buy a house so you are safe.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what he knew.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because, I mean, he was growing up in the DDR. How do you say it in English? East Germany.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he was carrying it with him and was, of course, giving it to us.
Yeah.
My mom, too.
Yeah.
And these were different times.
Yeah.
I have to say this different time thing, but it were.
Yeah. No, we're so lucky. We're privileged to be permitted and allowed to do what we're doing. You know, not everybody gets to do that.
We are allowed to go everywhere, to buy everything, to see everything, to say everything.
Yeah,
that's
different.
Really privileged.
I wonder what the next generation will look back and be like, oh, they suffered because they couldn't do this. Like,
yeah, right?
I don't know what it'll be, but.
Yeah. Sometimes it's exciting because my little sister's 10 years younger, mm-hmm. and to see what she is. How she sees the world, mm-hmm. or how she gets the new stuff. Like, she never learned without the internet.
So everything's immediate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I noticed that the patience for stuff
mm-hmm.
gets really, really, really short in younger generations.
That's interesting.
I noticed that also in workshops, when I do workshops and they are younger. It's like, okay, can I do this? Oh, it doesn't
can
work.
We move
okay,
around?
Can we do
the
next one?
Yeah. Well, I'm impatient too, so it actually works. I'm like, next exercise. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're studying impro, but you're also doing impro. Like, are you working with people in your community? Because it's Leipzig that you were, and they didn't really have an impro community that was as strong as it is now.
That's true. They had since, I think, 20 years now, they had the Theaterturbine. The company was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some improv stuff, but it got bigger and bigger. Now Leipzig has 600,000 people in it.
Yeah.
And we already have, like, I think, 10 or 12 improv groups.
Yeah, that's a lot for that many people. So did it just explode?
It exploded.
Just, yeah. Like, but you were in, like, the main... What's the company name again?
Theaterturbine.
And what does that stand translate?
The translation is Theater Turbine.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
Is it working?
Turbine, yeah. Turbine? Yeah, like, yeah, I love it.
The machine.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And we are 14 people in this company. Yeah,
with musicians. So you've been with them for
12 years now.
Wow.
Almost. Yeah.
And now, so because you're living in Vienna, mm-hmm. so you go back and forth to keep connecting. So we were talking about that before, because that must be really hard.
It is, and it's hard because when I can't do it, when I know, like today, I know I can't be in Leipzig since December.
Right.
Because there's no time, and this breaks my heart a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know I don't see my friends in this time. I probably don't see my parents because they are living near.
Yeah.
And I can't do stuff with them.
Yeah. And it's the momentum too, right? That you can't really be involved in your day-to-day. I mean, luckily with how we've all absorbed Zoom now that we can do more, but it must be hard.
Yeah, it is. Because we also have, like, some new people in and we train them, and I would love to be part of that, but I can't. And it's a little frustrating.
I don't want to talk about it too much because it's going to make everybody in North America upset. But you have you have funding, right, for your company in the same way that, like, Jacob and Trixie's company?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No, we don't have.
So how do you Do you, does all volunteer then?
No. Oh. We can really pay our people for shows. That's awesome. Because we're doing business gigs.
Ah, right.
Yeah, we're doing all the business gigs and like the Christmas parties for companies and stuff. And this gives us the money to pay our people for the shows.
So smart.
And... Yeah, cross the fingers that it works.
Yeah.
It works. We we could just recently raise the pay for our people.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
I know, it's the best feeling when people are like...
Right, when you can give them really, I can pay you.
Yeah.
I want to play your show, I want to have fun with you, but I can also pay you for your work. Because I know that's what you do for a job.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point that I think sometimes we can forget that this is also our job. It's not just fun. We have to pay our rent with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit.
Yeah. Do you find that challenging? Like, I feel like you're because you're very intelligent, you have like a theoretical mind next to your emotional mind. Mm-hmm. How do you, I don't even know how to. But do you find that a conflict with
all the time?
Anyway, think about it for a second.
all the time.
Yeah. How do you like? Because I think that's another thing with improv is, like, how do we shut our brains down so that you're just connecting? But how? And that also goes back to producing too, because you're producing and working from your heart and also working from your mind. And how do you?
I don't know.
Do you have any answers? I know I'm looking for the one answer.
Yeah. I really don't know. I'm trying to be in the moment. I'm trying to be, look my partners in the eyes and just be, okay, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
Everything is just in the back, everything else. Like now for the festival, it's like 5 days, just festival.
Yeah.
Nothing else happens at home or somewhere else. It's just the festival.
Although you have a party tonight, so there's a little bit happening
at home.
It is,
because I have to clean.
I know Jim is like, this will be the pocket where Anna can go home. Can go home and get things ready. And
yeah. But this is also fun. I don't need to choose my brain for this, because it's fun and logical and
100%.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Because I love having people at my place.
I
love throwing parties.
I know, you can tell when we were there last year. It was just like, it felt so welcoming. And yeah, I can't wait to be back in your apartment. So now, how do you, like, what are the things that you think... I've been having discussions for the podcast with improvisers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually really a really fun little chapter of these Firecracker Department chats. So my question is, what do you think that you bring to the stage that is something that maybe not everybody brings?
Ooh.
I know. Because I've watched you for a year, and I have to say, like, last year when I met you, I was like, oh, like, you're part of the ensemble. And it was nice. And then this year, it's like... Like, it feels like your stage is yours now.
Okay.
I just have seen this shift that is so beautiful.
Oh,
do you feel that?
Kind of.
Because I think there's a part of our process, and I think I do too, and I probably still do it, where, like, we sort of apologize for being on stage, or you don't... Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know
there's this
exactly
weird...
What
we're
you
looking
mean.
For somebody to say, oh, please take your stage, as
yes.
opposed to going... No, I love this so much. Why would I ask for permission?
Just do it.
Yeah. But I feel like you're doing it now. I think there was a level before you were hesitant.
True. Because I didn't want to fuck up.
Yeah.
Because there are so many like high class improvisers, and I want them to like me, and I want them to think that I'm good.
Yeah.
So I don't do that much, so I can't fuck it up.
I know. But then it's shitty, because then you're not making choices. Like,
no.
I'm just saying this because also I do the same thing, because, oh my gosh, yeah. So I have the same fears of like, oh my gosh, I hope people like me. I hope I don't mess this up. But then I was like, we were talking about this in my workshop yesterday. Of like, oh, I hope I'm the perfect improviser.
Yeah.
But then what's a perfect improviser?
I have no idea.
Somebody who makes mistakes.
True.
Right?
Yes.
So like,
yes.
So if I'm a perfect improviser, I'm screwing up all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So how do you train your muscles to go?
I think it's something that someone said to me is, take the fucking lead on it.
Was that true?
It was Jim.
Yeah. Because you're a leader too, right? So Leipzig is a different story for you.
It is. It is. It yeah. is. And also because if you come to a new city, to a new country when you're in your 30s and you already have like a little
yep.
career in your hometown yeah. and
Or community.
That's a huge and you part have your too. Jobs and yep. you have your apartment and you pay your rent and stuff. And then you come to a place where no one knows you, never saw you on stage, you have no connection. That was tough.
Yeah, of course it is.
To
yeah.
start this whole thing again. And I'm glad that I knew Jim because Jim supported me so much yeah. with this and opened some doors for me and introduced me to people and just helped me to settle in here very much.
But I'll also say you can have doors open for you, but you have to go through them and you have to stay sure. inside that room. So yes. you've done that. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But also it's like what I said before, the improv community in Vienna that was already there was open arms.
So beautiful.
And just, hey, yeah. who are you? Come on, let's have a stage together.
Yeah. And it's easy to stay, oh my God, I keep saying Leipzig. Am mm-hmm. I saying it?
Leipzig.
Leipzig. Okay. but it's easy, it could have been easier for you to stay there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, your community, you've got your routine. And yeah. so you're like, no, I'm going to shift everything. And although you must miss... there,
I do because still... also what you just said, it was a routine.
Yeah. And safe.
And safe. Yeah. And then I met Jim and I said, oh, I don't want a safe.
Right.
I want challenge. I want something exciting.
Right.
And yeah, something different. Because also Leipzig is very small. And after yeah. 10 years, you played with all the actors. And
right. Yeah. You're done.
And you were on every stage. And I was like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
What's now? And
but maybe that's the feeling that we have to train our bodies to have with be on stage. Mm. Like it's safe to sit back.
True.
But it's not as exciting and fun and
yes.
yeah.
So that's why I like having challenges mm-hmm. on stage. Mm-hmm. Like with the format that we did with Lena.
Mm-hmm.
And
beautiful.
She did
such a beautiful job.
She did. Oh my gosh. It's a great format. But it's a format totally out of my comfort zone because you can have only one character the whole time.
Right.
No mimicking, no pantomimes, no object
right,
work.
Right.
What is that's my safety net.
Right.
Or if I get scared on stage or something, I go to absurd characters, to just being like,
yeah,
doing all the
creatures
yeah, and
yeah.
stuff.
You're so good physically. Like it's yeah.
my safety net.
Sure.
And then someone says, okay, you can't do this, you can't do this. And you have a character for the whole show. Okay.
Right.
Okay. That's challenging because you can't go to your safe place. But I love those challenges.
Yeah.
Now.
But it's interesting you say safety net because... That's not a bad thing. Like you could also call it a tool in your tool belt.
Yes.
Instead of safety net, go, no, I go back to that tool because I know it. It's familiar. As
True.
Opposed to like, I don't know, safety net makes me think of like something that you're not engaged, but you're still engaged. Mm-hmm. You're just finding something that you're secure with.
True. Yes. Yeah. It's a tool that I always can have a handle to.
Yeah. 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 True. So I'm going to go back to the thought that what do you think you bring to the stage? What do you think that is Anarab?
I think I'm a pretty good supporter.
Yeah. I would take out the pretty good. I would take out the pretty.
No, wait.
You're right. You are pretty and you're good. Never mind. Go for it. Yeah.
I'm a good supporter.
You are.
Yes.
You are really good.
And I love to do that. I love being like the tree in the background. I love being the ringing bell on the door. And
yeah.
just to support what happens in the middle of the scene. I love that. Just, yeah.
It's such a great reminder not that you're a new improviser, but when you are out of your comfort zone, maybe, to like, just support.
Yeah.
Just go in and support. Yeah. Nobody's going to be like, oh, they were so supportive.
Oh, assholes.
That's right. It would be crazy with how she supported the whole show.
She's such a supporting bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It was great. And I do watch that. I feel like there is like such comfort and confidence in being on stage with people like you where you're like, I know I'm going to make an offer that maybe isn't the best or maybe half thought through or something like that. It maybe could be bolder. And then I've got Anna in the back corner going, yeah, yeah, go.
It. Yes, yeah. Let's do it. I got your back.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think with like improvisers now? Like, what do you think about the generation that you're dealing with? Because you're seeing a Vienna community, but also you go back to Leipzig. Mm-hmm. So what do you see as this generation?
I saw that most of the people now doing improv for like yoga.
What?
Yes, they're doing improv like yoga.
Oh, not like improv yoga. I said yogurt.
Yogurt. I love to have an improv yogurt.
Oh, nothing like a nice improv
yogurt.
They're
doing like yoga, like doing something good for themselves. Like a weekly.
Oh, like a ritual.
Ritual. Yeah, gotcha. Like I can let myself go this once a week and stuff. They're doing it for themselves and for their self-confidence and stuff. And there aren't so many people that do it for the theater aspect, for the art aspect.
That's interesting.
That's what I noticed a little bit.
So somebody might be like, I just like to do weekly class because it's good for my soul and it's good for my heart, but I don't want to pursue it.
No, I don't want to be on stage.
Really?
And stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I really
do. You think they're lying?
That. Maybe. Damn.
Because
they did.
Doesn't everybody want to be on stage?
I think so, but
is that arrogant? I feel like
I think so, but I met people that just said no. I just want to do workshops. Mm-hmm. I just want to do
you
it
ask
for
them,
myself.
Ask them for real. Say for realsies.
Just
because even like if like you know, there's professors that lecture, that's on stage. There's lawyers that do their
stuff.
They're lawyering, and that's on stage. So I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. I've never thought of it as like though a practice like yoga.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot because people coming after workshops coming to me and saying, it's so nice just to play, just to say yes to things and to celebrate mistakes. I say, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that also in our lives, not just in the workshops.
Yeah, that's why I think like after festivals, my mistake muscles are so good that I feel so bold. Mm-hmm. And then like the pandemic made me retreat, like, mm-hmm. 'cause I wasn't exercising it. You can't just like turn those muscles on.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Did you start the festival in Leipzig?
No, I
you
didn't.
You just joined.
I'm organizing it with Rashid and Sarah together since 4 years now, 5 years
now.
But I think they had two editions before I came even to the Theater Turbine. And then there was a long break with the festival and then we started it again.
Yeah.
And it's super fun. And it's funny that we have like a name similarity with this festival.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
ours is called Momenta.
Right.
Because we have all the expeditions in Leipzig called Documenta. And it's a thing.
Oh, okay.
Leipzig, this word.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Is there a meaning behind it? Like, it's just...
No, it's just the wordplay with the moment.
Gotcha. Oh, gotcha.
Super
so it's
creative.
Like your sibling festivals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, a little bit.
And so do you see the festival, like what are your hopes with that? Because I think, like, you know, with different levels of leadership, you can make bigger changes. So mm-hmm. you must be in the middle of these festivals going, oh, next year I want to do this. And I see a dream. Like, what are your sort of hopes and dreams for it?
Yes, my hopes and dreams are, my biggest dream is that the Leipzig community or the Leipzig people that live there are not so afraid of English.
Ah, yeah.
Because we have some problems with shows in English, because people think, I'm not good in English, I won't understand a thing. But also, there are no native speaker on stage.
Right.
We are all from countries with our second language, English, here. So you will understand, but it's hard to get them.
Yeah.
So that would be a big dream.
Do you have any thoughts about how that can change? Like, because impro is such a physical art.
Yes.
That... You know, I can watch a show in the wrong language and be like, I'm still going to get something out.
Yeah, I'm
like
still
even last night's show, the Felipe's class, there wasn't a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe we want to try to advertise it like this, like there are not so many words.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad English. I think the festival here is doing a good job with promoting the festival is in bad English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we want to try this. That people
feel.
And also we have some international schools in Leipzig. We want to connect with them.
Smart. That's smart.
With the schools. Because what better way to learn English in an improv show?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. and yeah, and have a lot of amazing people over, and
yeah,
and maybe get some money from the city. That would be nice.
Yeah, I know that's the part of the administration, like whenever the money stuff, and I have to change my mindset because I'm always like, oh, the money, the grants, and I don't, but I have to do that. That's part of our job as artists, is to apply for the money to do the art.
Yes, so. That's like the downside part of
yeah the- I mean, it'd be fun just to play all day,
right, and just get money from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, just like the sky.
Hey, have you joined our Patreon page?
I think you should. I mean, we wanted to start something that was a little bit more community involved, where we could have actual discussions with all of you from the Firecracker Department community.
So we share bonus episodes, we do discounts for our events, we do like Zoom chats with special guests so that you can actually have one-on-one discussions with some of our past guests, and also specialized workshops where you can actually have discussions with these folks that are bringing great information to the table. So go on over to patreon.com/firecrackerdept and find out what it's all about. And why don't you join us?
What is your favorite, I love asking this question, your favorite exercise to teach? Because your, what do you, like your typical classes, what do they focus on?
The body.
Oh yeah,
the physicality, impulses.
Yeah.
Weird. And being in the body, what my body can do, what characters it can create and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I love to do is like just putting some cool music on, mm-hmm. and they just by their own just dancing in the room, mm-hmm. and stuff, and it's so beautiful
to
watch. Like when people just are a little stiff and a little shy, and then you make the music on and they are big and expressional, and that's just so awesome to watch. And then I freeze them. And then they...
So you just do a dance party to warm up?
Yeah, dance party, and then freeze them. Mm-hmm. And then they have to create a character from their position.
Oh, fun.
And that's... I love this exercise because everyone, most of them afterwards are like, oh, I've never done this character. Oh, yeah. I didn't know I can do this and stuff. And I just love that.
Yeah, that they discover a character without thinking.
Yes.
Which I think is...
Just from the body.
Yeah.
And they just start walking, and I tell them, you already have an emotion with this character.
Yeah.
You already know what this character
yes.
is doing. And you know the name and stuff. And then they say, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I stop them and then just say, okay, you, what are you doing? What do you like? And then they're just answering in the character, and they're having so much fun with
yeah.
it. This is awesome.
I love that.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I love when it's like... Like it feels like you're cheating, right? Like you actually don't have to think so much. You just have to like dance just, until you find a position.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah. And do you have any exercises that you know help your like the newer, like what's your, when you have a new improviser, mm-hmm. how do you engage with them to start breaking down those walls?
I love to do in the beginning, just doing silly warm-up games.
Mm-hmm.
So they
feel... Look how serious you are about.
Yeah,
serious.
Very silly yeah. warm-up games. Like, yeah, because I think the biggest fear is that I don't want to look silly or
yeah.
I don't want to mess fuck up.
Yeah.
And with warm-up games, you can totally do that because everyone is laughing if you don't get it at the first time.
Yeah.
And say, ah, yeah, okay, let's do it again.
Yeah.
And I love this one warm-up because people are having so much fun with it and being silly. It's, you know, the Holy Grail.
I don't know.
It's awesome. You're standing in a circle and someone with an attitude, but like an emotion or something, gives you the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to take it and you have to double what you see from your partner.
Uh-huh.
And left and right, the people have to double it, the emotion and stuff. And then it's just, I give you the Holy Grail.
I'm
just being stupid and silly and big, and they're having so much fun. And I noticed afterwards, everyone is like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
now
who cares
we can do whatever.
Yeah, I was just a monkey rolling
yeah.
around on the floor.
Yeah.
But wait a second. So you have, like, the actual have a Holy Grail and you pass it to somebody?
No, it just pantomime it.
Oh, okay. So then you're saying, like, this is...
I give you the Holy Grail and then you say, I take the Holy Grail, and left and right said, she has the Holy Grail, but in the double-doubled attitude.
Right. And then the people on the other side of that goes, she has the Holy...
Yes. Blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Oh, everybody's
just
got a Holy Grail.
Bigger.
Oh, fun. And then do you do it with other objects or just the Holy Grail?
It's just the Holy Grail, and then another one gets the Holy Grail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. Real fun. What do you think, like, if people were thinking about doing improv, like, how would you get them to make the step?
I probably would say, do you want to make mistakes?
And they'll be like, no, no.
You want to feel good about making mistakes?
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And, yeah, do you just want to play?
Yeah.
You just want to scream and run
through
the room?
I don't think people know, though. Like, I think there's a time in our lives that we go from being a kid and you understand play, and then something happens where play is, like, not supported or encouraged or celebrated.
We don't allow ourselves to play anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's kid stuff and we want to grow up because we want to deal with grown-up stuff.
Do we?
We have to.
We have to
deal with grown-up stuff. So I think we don't allow ourselves to be kids anymore, to play anymore.
Yeah.
And when we do, it's like a mind-blowing experience. Like, where did I get this? Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that to see when people are in workshops at the first time,
mm-hmm.
that they just, I had fun,
mm-hmm.
just running around in circles. I had fun just throwing my arms in the air and say again.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
Did you ever have doubts in the middle of this journey? Like, I feel now that this is your life. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, I can't imagine you doing anything else. How did you deal with those moments of doubt?
The biggest doubt was, it was in the pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
Because I thought, okay, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can do. And that's my talent. And
I mean, it's not.
But
you got
that's,
tons.
That's what I thought.
But you have a background with teaching. You have tons to offer that way.
And I was so scared not to have this fun anymore on being on stage. Or I had a good run before the pandemic and I was starting to get invited to stuff. And then it just broke down. And I thought, okay, I missed my chance to get in this whole machinery. And that was scary and also a little sad because I thought, oh, damn you, pandemic, timing,
mm-hmm.
timing. And I had a time I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must have like flattened you for a while.
Yeah, and it really drove me in a good depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so much a part of who we think we are, like our identity and... If it's not there, like the pandemic that did that for so many people, when you're like, oh, if I say that I am an improviser that does, and suddenly all those things are taken away, you're like, well, who am I?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's left?
Yeah. How did you navigate through that?
With Jim.
Yeah.
Together. We just supported each other and stuff, and we found some new things to do, and... I was very glad because then my teaching started again with Zoom.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun, but it was what it was.
Yeah.
And I could do stuff. And we also tried some Zoom shows and we tried a Zoom show without words. It was really fun to be together and rehearsing this on Zoom. But I missed being in the same room with those people.
Of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was... It was a really quick end.
Yeah. So do you feel like that gave you a tool to deal with it in the future? Like, yeah?
Because I thought, now I know for 100% that's what I want to do.
Ah.
I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do anything else. And now I have to do something that I can do it. And so I apply for stuff. I go to shows. I just showing my face around.
Yeah. But what a gift that would have been to just be like, oh, this is what I was supposed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that as opposed to going, that taught me nothing.
Yeah. No, I think I got out a little bit stronger.
Yeah. And you can see it on stage now, too. Like, it's a certainty, right, of this is where I want to be.
Totally. But
I know. You get emotional about it. I get too. I love it so much. And I love what we get to do that I don't ever take it for granted.
No. But I also have to say, being bold on stage is such a brave thing to do. And I'm You inspired me a lot for that, being bold on stage and just throwing out your heart on stage. I saw that last year at the festival, what you were doing, and I was like, yes, yes, this is beautiful. I want to do that too. And I took that from you the last year to work on that and to see, okay. And then sometimes I caught myself on stage saying, what would Naomi do?
And you get a cake mix.
Yeah, I got a cake mix. I was doing cakes last year. It was awesome.
So many cakes were made on stage.
And I was breathing a lot on stage.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that helped me a lot to going a step further.
Yeah. But me too, you too. Like, I see you on stage and like that song you sang like last night, that rock star. And I was like, oh, look at her. She just rocked. Like, it was so, and it's a reminder, right? Like, it's like, when you see people breathing, you're like, oh, I'll breathe too. When you see people being bold, you're like, oh, like it's, I get it every time. Every time I'm on stage, somebody inspires me and reminds me.
Yeah. It's so important. I totally forgot about that. When we had the show, the Lena's show, and Hila and I, we were so connected because
so beautiful.
We did the breathing together. I could totally see her breathing, and we could, yeah, it was just, we breathed a lot of
things. Yeah, yeah, you shared your breath. Yeah, I know. But it's true, you can't sit there with somebody in a scene and not breathe if they are.
Yeah.
Because they'll go, and you'll go, oh yeah, I haven't been breathing.
Then we have to do something. But if you just breathe, then you're connected, and then let's see what the next step is for us. That's beautiful.
I think it goes back to like that wanting to impress, wanting to, because I don't want to bore you with my breathing.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll go, I breathe. I breathe.
Can we now do stuff?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I know. And we're lucky, right? Because we have this community of fucking awesome female improvisers. Like,
oh, God, yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And I see them, I see the new ones coming too, which is so exciting. And I'm so inspired. Like, even like, we've got Charlotte and Lena and Hila.
Awesome.
It's an incredible group of, I was talking to Inbal about this and I asked her what makes her feel powerful. And she was like, being on stage with women. And I was like, yes. Like when it's not competitive, it's like we're creating art together and we know our, you know, we're confident in our place. And
But with Inbal, you know, if you go with Inbal on stage, you know, you would create something awesome.
I know.
You're having the best time of your life.
It's an easy one. Inbal was like, do you want to improvise with me at 4 o'clock in the morning in an elevator? I'm like, I do. Anywhere. Yeah.
She was very inspiring to me because she just don't give a fuck.
I think she does. I think,
of course,
you know,
she does.
But on stage,
it feels like
bold.
She's just doing stuff. And
I think that's because she gives so many fucks.
Probably.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I know there's a level of like, I don't care, but I think she cares.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll ask her.
Probably.
But
it's this feeling on stage, like, yeah, I do this, bam, that's it.
Yeah, she's got a confidence. Again, like, you just watch that and be like, I want a little part of that.
Yes,
like,
right.
Isn't it, like, you sort of do a buffet with, like, the
totally.
People that you
I
work with?
I pick stuff from people that inspire me and just trying to put it in my basket.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I love that, too, about, like, talking about teaching, because, you know, the thing that you just told me about the grail and I was like, oh, I'm gonna try that, and when I try it, I'm gonna go, oh, my friend Anna told me about this, and to reverberate our teaching too, because that's how we learn too.
Yes.
I had this great discussion with a teacher, a friend of mine. They gave me all these ideas of like what to do, and it was just it was beautiful.
Totally.
Okay, so one of the things we do is I do firecracker questions at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you don't have to be fast, but I'm stalling because I'm looking for the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to me, a firecracker is, fill in the blank. To me, a firecracker is.
To me, a firecracker is awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. What do you want to be best known for?
Awesome to hang out with.
On and off stage.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a given. If this was a movie, so if your life was a movie and there was a climactic turning point, what has been that moment?
Moving to Vienna was a big, was a big changing point for me and also for my inner self.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a huge changing point, like in every direction, in relationship, in career, and
yeah, totally. Do you remember a time when you moved to Vienna and you went, oh, this was, because you must have been scared.
Yeah.
Because you're leaving this big community that you built.
Yes.
Do you remember a time when you were in Vienna going, oh yeah, this is right?
Yeah. Every time I go home.
Yeah. Did you live in that place the whole time?
Almost, yeah. Oh, yeah. The first 3 weeks we were living in the old apartment, and then we got this beautiful apartment, and every time I go home I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the right thing.
I get it. I love that space so much. What's something that people don't know about you?
I think people don't know that I'm much more scared of them than they think that I am.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm showing much more confidence that I probably have in this moment.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, fake it till you make it.
Right? You're also gorgeous. So I think you have such stature. Is that the right word?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, what's something you haven't done yet, but you know you have to do?
I want to do contact improvisation. Like when you have two people with music and they just without words dancing with each other and just their bodies become one, and I just so want to try that. It just looks amazing, and
When's the last time you saw that?
I watch YouTube videos all the time. Because it's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I feel like we did a bit in this week with the workshop with
Lena. A little bit,
just because of the intimacy workshop.
Yes.
And,
and I love that.
Yeah.
Just trusting each other. And they fall on each other and stuff. And it looks like, of course you talked about it before.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They're just feeling them. And
do you play music?
Awesome. No.
I feel like you could also be a beautiful musician just based on like the various...
I'd love to be.
What would you play?
Piano.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love to play the piano.
I know. Watching Julie play, stunning. Stunning. Awesome. What's somebody, a firecracker that you know, like somebody who is female or non-binary, that you want to shine a light on to pay it forward?
I totally want to do that with my colleague Ursula Anna Baumgartner, because she is my improv duo partner and my second half of my improv heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she's one of the women that you go on stage and you know you can do everything with her because you trust her from the first second. We look each other in the eyes and we know the next move.
Mm-hmm.
I start something and I know exactly Ursula will come and do the next step. And I know I will have an awesome time when she's there.
Was there ever a discussion you had? Like, what helped create that bond?
It was just there.
It was just there.
We just met. We had our first show. And we said, oh, that was fun to play with you. Let's do it again. Okay, and then the next show, we were like, oh, it's amazing to play with you.
Yeah.
Let's play so much more. And then just playing the two of us, it's just sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we are not alone, that we are not in this bubble, and just having fun, the two of us, there's also an audience.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Sorry, guys. We're just having fun. And she is so fucking talented.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's an amazing singer. She just created an ensemble of three people, a musician and a light technician, and they're doing like full 1.5 musical, improvised musical.
What?
And it's just amazing.
Where can we see something like that, do you know? Like on her...
In
only live? Like does she...
Yeah, she's only doing it live once a month.
Oh,
in the theater.
Fantastic.
And it's awesome. She's just super talented.
Because I know there are a lot of duos, and that's a really strong way to build an improv career, because you can work a lot.
Yes.
And you can get on stage a lot.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for duos based on your... Can you say her name? Ursula?
Ursula Anna.
Ursula.
Ursula.
Ursula. Any advice about creating a duo that has a stronger connection like you have?
Talking to each other is so important.
Like before and after the show?
And after, and also in rehearsals, like, I like that, I don't like that. If you just did something then and you didn't feel comfortable, just talk to each other. I think this is so important, really, really important. And if you have a partner like Ursula, she would say, oh yeah, sure, yeah, let's not do that and let's do this instead. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had conflict together?
No, not really.
Amazing. Amazing. What's the duo called?
Bemme and Melange. And Bemme is an old German word for bread.
Yes.
And Melange is the Viennese coffee.
Oh, nice. So. Beautiful. Although it sounds way better if I did like bread and coffee.
Yeah.
And now the duo, bread and coffee. Not right? So great. Not so great. What makes you feel powerful?
It's a tough question.
I got a couple of thoughts for you. Because I see awesome. What happens. I'll tell you a couple of things. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, wait. You should just say. Okay. I'll back them up.
What makes me feel powerful? Being on stage and just feeling comfortable. That that makes me feel really powerful. I feel totally okay on stage. I feel great on stage.
I know, I see
and
it.
I'm connected with you in the audience. I feel so powerful.
You just look joyful.
Yeah.
You look like you're just, time of your life. But I also see power, and this sounds, I don't think it's trivial, but like when you have a good dress, you are like, it's so, am I right? Like you have a couple of dresses and you wear them, I'm like, oh, she's like in her zone right now.
True.
Because I think it's my other friend answered the question, said boots. Mm. Boots, and I was like, yeah, like a good pair of boots that I can, and like those shoes you had the other day.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, I think we find our powers different places, but then you take that power on stage and then you're like, oh.
True. Yeah. And that was a long time to wear dresses on stage because I didn't feel very comfortable at the beginning in dresses on stage.
Interesting.
I thought I couldn't move and I'm so limited. But then I said, no, but I feel pretty and I like dresses. And and then I just did it and just put a pants down under the skirt and it worked.
Yeah, you did Twister the other day.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I heard in my, because I wasn't watching the show, I had my back to your scene. And I heard you pull out the twist. I'm like, but she's wearing a dress.
Yeah, it was fun.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And yeah, that's true. I feel powerful when I like having a nice dress and I feel pretty. Totally.
I get it. What has been the best advice you ever got and the worst advice that you ever got?
Probably the best advice was take the fucking lead, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just gave me a little push to not be in the back anymore and not be so silent anymore. And the worst advice was, if you want to be a good improviser, you have to say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that very seriously in the first years, and I didn't feel very comfortable with it.
Mm.
And then with some more workshops of amazing people, I think that my first workshop with Patty Stiles was, no, you don't. Just say no. And that gave me so much permission to do other stuff. And I think that was probably the worst advice. Just say yes to everything.
That's funny that that's like what people say is like the thing to do in improv. But
The golden rules.
So what would you say, though, if somebody says, aren't you supposed to say yes and? What would you say to them if they were your student?
Because you can also say yes and if you say no.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to verbalize yes and. You also can say yes to a scene, to a situation, to a character if you give them a no. And you can push them more forward with a no than a yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to integrate in that.
Yeah, because no can also be an agreement.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. If we have like a no game, awesome.
Yeah.
Do it. Because it's a saying yes to the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're talking in my workshop and somebody said like, can we just go through the different elements? And I was like, there's no like here's five easy steps to do improv. There's really nothing to say, right? I think, number one, breathe. And then the rest is going to fall into place.
Like, I did a workshop with Trixie, Beatrice
Butchko. Oh my gosh, yes.
And she has this beautiful thing. Okay. In the great big book of improv, it says, fuck it.
Thou shalt breathe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, my final question is advice that you would have given yourself, but as a kid.
Trust your instinct.
Did you not trust your instincts?
Not at the beginning. So I did some not the straight way. I did some, I don't know how to say it in English.
Yeah, not direct. Not direct. Indirect ways, I don't know.
Yeah, indirect ways. Yeah. And I could have probably gotten to a more direct way if I had listened to something in my head and something in my heart. Yeah. But I didn't. Yeah, I would say that to me. Just listen to your heart and do it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It will be fine.
Yeah. It looks like you're doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, we're coming to Vienna. Like it is. It's like yes. The things that you're doing are trusting yes. More. And...
But also because I have a friend who's talking or who's experiencing and talking a lot about your inner child. Mm-hmm. And I think this is for me, it's a very important topic because I also connected with improv, the inner child and yep. Playing and improv and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so connected with each other. And since I'm reading a lot of stuff with this, I'm working on that.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah. All right, look, we have to start rehearsal. We can't talk all day. I know. But we'll talk later again.
But I'm excited for the rehearsal.
I know, me too. It's all physical today, yes. Right? Yeah, it's going to be great. So if people are wanting to find out about workshops or about shows, they should probably go to your Instagram.
Instagram or my homepage. Yeah, it's annerab.com.
Oh, yeah, you're smart. You got one of those. It is more than a pleasure just to spend time with you on stage and off stage. And I just love that we're friends. Yes. I love that we've got this world that we get to see each other. And I feel like I just know that no matter where we are in the world, we'll somehow be connected. And
yes,
that makes me really
awesome.
Happy too.
I saw you last year and now I see you this year again. And it feels like there's no time just catching up where we left. And this is awesome.
I know. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for folks that want to find out more, go to firecrackerdepartment.com or socials at firecrackerdept. And we're just going to keep having these great talks because I love them and I know you do too. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much to the podcast team. We've got Pau Carranza, who's producing it with me. Jennifer Morose is our consulting producer. Jennifer Rowley is our head editor. And Jana O'Connor is assistant editor. Rebecca Gismani is our copywriter. Anna Morodin is our YouTube manager and video editor. Shout out to the Firecracker Department actioneers that make everything tick. Veronica Martin, Liesl Lafferty, Anisha McFarlane, Pau Carranza, and Anna Morodin. For more information about Firecracker Department or to get involved in our community, go to www.firecrackerdepartment.com. And of course, find us on our socials at firecrackerdept. And don't forget to rate and review our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts to get these voices and these stories shared with more of the world. Thanks, everybody. Go on out there. Have a firecracker day.